This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein, Parashat Vayeshev, 57-77. Tamar's Choice, Different Models of Loyalty. We often think of the story of Yehuda and Tamar as being about them, Yehuda and Tamar. But a closer reading yields that there is a third figure in the story, Chira, the man from Adullam. The story of Yehuda and Tamar opens with a fairly straightforward introduction. As the verses say, at that time Yehuda departed from his brothers and inclined towards a man from Adullam, and his name was Chira. Why are we told about this man? What is his significance to the story we are about to read? A close reading of the story teaches us that the man from Adullam represents something significant. In a story about trickery and trust, he represents a model of trustworthiness that is different than that of Yehuda and Tamar. His presence gently and devotedly shows a different perspective and attitude from the attitude shown by the main protagonists of the story. We'll read chapter 38 of Bereshit, which focuses on Yehuda, Tamar, and the man from Adullam, and through this lens, investigate the nature of devotion, loyalty, and trust. Yehuda arrives at a new place and inclined towards a man from Adullam, and his name was Chira. He creates new bonds in this place, inclining himself to Chira. Some explain this bond as a business relationship, and others view this simply as a demonstration of physical proximity. After establishing this first connection, Yehuda proceeds to bind himself again. There, Yehuda saw the daughter of a Canaanite man whose name was Shua, and he took her and came to her. Yehuda's wife bears him children, and in time Yehuda marries off his eldest son, Er, to Tamar. After many years, Yehuda's oldest son dies, and Yehuda finds himself needing to demonstrate his loyalty and devotion, doing right by both his deceased son and his bereaved daughter-in-law in fulfilling of the law of Yibum. The law of Yibum applies to situations in which there are two brothers, one married and the other who dies with no children, and the law requires the live brother marry the wife of the deceased one. And the verses tell us, Yehuda said to Onan, "Go to your brother's wife and do Yibum with her and establish progeny for your brother." Onan too meets an untimely death, and this leaves Yehuda to fulfill the mitzvah obligation of Yibum a third time by giving his third son to Tamar, which he is reluctant to do, given what happened to his two elder sons, her first husbands. Thus, after the death of his second son, Yehuda feels that he needs to choose between two loyalties, to Tamar or to his youngest son, and he chooses to be loyal to his youngest son. From the language used, it's very clear that Yehuda is completely unable to imagine a path in which he could remain loyal and devoted to both of them. As the verses explain, Yehuda said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah is grown." For he said to himself, "Lest he also die like his brothers." And Tamar went to live in her father's house. The fact that Yehuda lies to Tamar, that he doesn't include her in his thought process and concerns, and that he sends her home to her parents, are all expressions of the sense that Yehuda has that he needs to choose between Tamar and Shelah. He can't be faithful to both of them. Tamar. Given this background, it is not at all surprising that we find lies and deceit also coming from Tamar towards Yehuda. She removed the clothes of her widowed, and she covered herself entirely with a scarf. she reclined and sat at the fork in the road on the way to Timna. And the verses go on, and Yehuda saw her and thought she was a prostitute since she covered her face. Essentially, there is a profound disconnect between Yehuda and Tamar, which expresses itself in a few details of miscommunication, lack of communication, and non-recognition. Yehuda does not himself update Tamar about his whereabouts. Instead, the verses tell us, it was told to Tamar, behold, your father-in-law is going up to Timna to shear his sheep. Her response is, as the verses tell, she covers her face with a scarf and Yehuda doesn't recognize her. Additionally, Tamar never asks Yehuda about Shelah, or when they are going to be married. And Yehuda never volunteers any updates. She only expresses the conclusion she reaches internally. And the verses tell us, for she saw that Shelah grew up, and she was not given to him as a wife. Let us turn back to the story. Just as Yehuda inclined himself to the man from Adullam, so too Yehuda inclines himself to Tamar. But this time he doesn't recognize who he is inclining towards. And the verses describe, he inclined, vayet, to her, to the way. And he said, let me now come to you, for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. In contrast to the inclining, vayet, that opens the chapter, where we are supplied with the name of the person who Yehuda is joining, Chira, here, the text emphasizes that Yehuda doesn't know anything about this woman. The literary comparison invited by the use of the same unusual verb, vayet, incline, creates within the reader a disharmony and stresses the stark difference between the two encounters. It also might reflect something of what is happening in the heart of Tamar, sitting widowed, rather than with Shelah. Yehuda, on the other hand, likely thought that he was entering into a momentary and brief episode. Returning to Tamar, ostensibly one could explain her behavior as a total lack of faithfulness to Yehuda. Instead of waiting for him and trusting him to provide her with a rightful husband, she chooses to seduce him and become pregnant that way. However, the continuation of the chapter illustrates that this is not the case. When Tamar is discovered to be impregnated by an unidentified man, she is ordered to the stake by Yehuda. Tamar is presented at that moment with two options: betray Yehuda by revealing his identity, and thereby be spared the penalty of burning and maintain her reputation, or being loyal to Yehuda by continuing to conceal his identity. Tamar chooses to be faithful to Yehuda. She chooses not to expose him publicly and instead allow him the option of taking responsibility, even though giving him this option puts Tamar herself at risk of burning. In the Talmudic tradition, this choice that Tamar makes of loyalty over betrayal turns her into a paradigm of model behavior. And the Talmud says, it is better for a person to cast himself into a fiery furnace and not publicly shame his friend. How do we know this? From Tamar. The Talmudic reading of Tamar focuses our attention on the choice that she has to make. Then, at the climax of the story, when her life and reputation are at stake, Tamar makes the right decision. A decision of loyalty and devotion. Chira. Chira is a minor character who appears only in this one place and presents a totally different picture of loyalty. His loyalty is expressed through duration, companionship, devotion, togetherness, and openness. As mentioned, he appears at the beginning of the chapter as the person to whom Yehuda inclines, but he also appears twice more, again when Yehuda's wife passes away, and a third time when he is chosen to be the messenger to deliver Yehuda's payment to and receive his collateral from the supposed prostitute on the way to Timnah. The woman who the biblical reader knows is Tamar, but Yehuda does not. As the verses describe, after many years, Bathshua, the wife of Yehuda, dies. He was comforted, and he went to shear his sheep in Timnah, he and Chira, his friend from Adullam. And further on, the verses tell us, Yehuda sent the goat in the hand of his friend to get the collateral from the hand of the woman. The three times at which Chira is mentioned are momentous junctures of Yehuda's life, moving away from his brothers, losing his wife, and the challenge of delivering payment to a prostitute who has all of his identifying objects in her hand. Chira accompanies Yehuda through many years, from the day he arrives to Adullam as a single man through the marriage of his children. He sticks by Yehuda during the tough times and volunteers to help in solving Yehuda's problems. For example, when Chira sees that the prostitute that he was looking for isn't there, he tries to find her and to strategize with Yehuda to find a solution for the confusing situation that he is caught up in. As the verses says, he returned to Yehuda and said, I didn't find her. And also the local people there said that there was no prostitute here. Yehuda said, take it from her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this goat, and you didn't find her. What is so moving about this conversation is what isn't told in the verses. Yehuda, as is evident from the verses, includes the man from Adullam in his encounter with the prostitute, and they deliberate together about his situation in an open way, about the potential embarrassment latent in his predicament. Yehuda is very concerned about the shame and ridicule from everyone, with the exception of Chira, whom he trusts completely. This is emphasized by Rashi's comment there. And Rashi says, lest we be shamed, if you ask after her further, the matter will become public, and there will be disgrace. The connection between Yehuda and Chira, as opposed to the connection between Yehuda and others, is free of drama, free of suspicion or extreme decisions, free of the requirement of ultimate sacrifice. Between Yehuda and his friend Chira, there is a sense of openness, ease, devotion, and time. In Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, Chira is called an ohev, a lover, in the sense of an extremely close friend. He inclined to the man from Adullam, and his name was Chira. The rabbis say this person was known to be a lover of this tribe, Yehuda. Maybe the Midrash is arguing that these are the characteristics that define a loving, devoted bond: openness, duration, and tolerance. Not dramatic demonstrations and tests of loyalty in which one is required to choose between me and you. Chapter 38, then, presents two models of trust and loyalty. Tamar, in her connection to Yehuda, represents one, and Chira, in his relationship with Yehuda, represents the other. One is characterized by silence, unilateral decisions, distance despite or in the name of loyalty, and a call for public dramatic displays of devotion. The second is characterized by the absence of embarrassment, openness, dialogue, and exposure of vulnerability. May we not find ourselves in tests of loyalty such as Tamar's choice, but rather merit to have friends like Chira. Shabbat Shalom.